The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, ladies. You know, Parkside Baptist Church is a great place to plug in. I think that sometimes we miss all that we could do. There's so many things here to be able to help a family. I know Brother Butler met with me in the office there just shortly before Sunday school, and we were planning out the men and boys camp out that'll be coming up very soon. And my wife and I have met numerous of times over the ladies' conference that'll be coming up. And again, Brother Butler and I have met several times about the couples retreat coming up, and so many different things that is here. And I thank God that we have a balanced church to be able to help every type of person that's in our church, whether it's a child with all the children's programs, or whether it's a teenager with all the outstanding teen programs that's going on, or whether it's a single adult, or whether it's a married person. There's things here that could be an asset to you and your family, and I thank God that we have a church, again, that's balanced and well-rounded to be able to help the whole family. And I would take advantage, honestly, of some of those things and get involved in some of those things that could help you to grow as a Christian, and that's what we want to do. We just want to help you to grow as a Christian. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Job 23 and in verse 10, where the Bible says, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And I want to speak this morning, when I am tried, when I am tried. You know, sometimes we look at something that comes our way, and if we're not careful, we go into an emergency, hyper type of reaction, rather than being slow, being methodical, and allowing God to work in our lives. It's very important that we understand that God allows things to come in our lives to be able to help us. I remember when I was a young man, I did not know my parents, to be honest with you, very well until the age of 6. I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodists on a 280-acre farm. And for 6 years, that's all I knew. We had cattle, and we had hogs. And matter of fact, Paul had the largest sow in the state of Maryland one year, weighing close to 1,200 pounds, and took the state fair award at 1,200 pounds or so. And so I grew up around things like that. The farm I grew up on had two barns. We had three chicken coops. We had a woodshed. We had all sorts of equipment, and we had two ponds, and we had two streams that was running through the 280 acres, and you could go in the woods, to be honest with you, and probably get lost if you didn't know your way around. But we had paths all through the woods and whatnot. But when it came time for what we call canning season, they would bring in the harvest, and what Ma would do, and Lottie, her sister, they would go over to the summer house. We had a two-story farmhouse that we lived in, and it had a basement. That's where we put the potatoes down there and some other things to be able to do the processing. But and of course we had the kitchen. They had a wood stove. They didn't have an electric stove. It was a wood stove that they put wood in, and that's how they cooked. And I remember the tea kettle going off and all those things. We didn't have any heat on the secondary floor at all. There was no heat whatsoever on the secondary floor. And so in the wintertime, it got a little chilly, and you would have to crawl underneath these big blankets, you know, and you couldn't move when you were my age. Think about a six-year-old, and you're covered up by all these quilts, and I mean, it's just like, you know, you're right there. And I remember Paul had a big old feather bed, and man, you've never slept until you have slept in a feather bed. You have never sneezed so much if you're allergic to feathers, if you have not slept in a feather bed. But I remember that, and the feather bed, and I remember all that stuff coming up on the farm, and it was a really neat thing. They had a summer house, and when it came time for canning, what they did, there was a process over in the summer house. And they never did canning over in the big house, but it was a large porch that adjourned it to a large summer house, and we would go over to the summer house, and that's where they would do the sausage of course, killing of the hogs and stuff like that, and we'd make fresh sausage, and they have the sausage machine that was not electric, but the old hand grind machine, and we'd make our own sausage and stuff like that. But I remember them doing the canning, and the canning was a process, and we'd go out and we'd bring in all the fresh fruits and all the fresh vegetables that was all over the land, and we would bring them in, and Ma would go through, and Lottie would go through the canning process. And I want us to see some things here relatively to that time where we see that God has taken us through a process. And watch in your Bible, if you will, but we're going to see a process that God takes us through to be able to show us who we really are and how God wants to use us to be able to take that faith that he's given us through those trials and come out on top side. Now, let me show you a couple things, if I may. Over in Psalm 17 and in verse 3, the Bible says, he hath proven my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me. It says, shalt find nothing. I am purposed in my mouth. It says, shall not transgress. Then over in Psalm 66 in verse 10, the Bible says, thou art, O God. It says, for thou, O God, proven us, has proven us, has tried us as silver is tried. And so I want you to understand something. Come help me, if you will, for just a minute. And so there's a proving process that God says when we have trials in our life, there's a proving process. By the way, you will not learn the greater lessons on the mountain. You learn the greater lessons in the valley. In the victorious times in your life, you don't have to execute a lot of faith, but it's during the times when you don't have victory that the most faith has to be executed. It's not in the good days that we learn the true character of who you really are, but it's in the bad days. It's the time when there's errors in your life, not blessings, that all of a sudden we see the prosperity of God beginning to work in your life. Last week, I took what you call a work vacation. My wife called it a stay vacation because we didn't go off anywhere. And I had two manuals to write for the college. And so one of the manuals I wrote for the college is Biblical Management for Leadership, or for leaders. So the whole thing, 28 lessons on how to manage yourself as a leader. Another one I wrote was on biblical counseling. And so those lessons, 40 lessons in all, took a long time to be able to process. It took a long time to be able to study out. It took a long time of studying the scriptures and bringing in all sorts of different books and being able to document things, to be able to help people, to be able to make sound decisions in those particular areas. Now, may I say, it was a proving time. A proving time. When we go through proving times in our life, not necessarily do we always rejoice. When we go through trials in our life, we don't always look at that as being that's the wonderful thing. When we go through testings in our life, or the lean days, the hardships, or the valleys, or the tragedies in our life, we don't always look at those times and saying, boy, that's just wonderful. But if it wasn't for the proving times in our life, if it wasn't for the time of making ready that which is the harvest, and working with that harvest, and being able to allow God to use that. My son Joshua just recently got in a car wreck, and he totaled his car. And at first we looked at the car and we thought, man, this is just absolutely terrible. Then all of a sudden the insurance contacted and paid him more money than he paid for the car. And so now he was able to go buy another car for cash, not owing a penny on the car, and got a better car than the first car. You know, but while you're in the midst of that which is the tragedy, you don't necessarily see the blessing. But it's during those times of tragedy that God begins to teach us things. It was Abraham that went through the time of, we could call a tragedy in his life, or a time of testing in his life, as God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him on the altar of sacrifice. That was a proving time. You could think about Joshua as he was thrown into the pit and sold into slavery, then unjustly put into prison. And Joshua looked at these times distressfully in his life, and he said this, God meant it unto good. And so though we look at times in our life and we say, we just don't understand it, do we understand that God has your best interest at heart? Do we understand that God knows what he's doing? Do we understand that God does not make a mistake? Do we understand that God is the one that wants to work in your life? And God many times will work in your life during the hard times in your life. It was Job that was tested as his camels were taken and as his sheep were taken and the oxen were taken and his servants were killed and his children was killed and he entered into a rim of his life of bad health. And his wife even looked at him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? But at that time, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what he did? He passed the test. There was a proving time in his life, and God said, here's what I'm going to do. And by the way, God doesn't send proving times in our life so that he can learn something about himself. God sends proving times in our life so that we can learn something about ourselves. See, God already knows all about him. And God already knows all about you. But to be honest with you, you don't know all about you until the proving times come in your life. You think about Peter. Peter was a man that was somebody that followed our Lord afar off. Peter was approached by a maiden, and the maiden said, you're one of them. You're one of them. Your speech even betrays you. You're one of them. And it was Peter that spoke up, and the Bible says that he cursed, and he said, I know not the man. You know what he did? He failed the test. He failed the test. So test does come in our life. And it doesn't matter how much of a man of God you are or how much of a woman of God you are. When a test comes in your life, you will either pass the test or you will fail the test. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3, says the finding pot is for silver and the furnace, it says, for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. And so the Bible teaches that those hard times, those difficult times, is times that God will try the heart. And as he tries the heart, you know what he does? Here's what he does. He proves you. He proves you. We go over to that summer house. We get all these lima beans in. And we get all these string beans in. And I was just a little guy back then. And I would watch Maul and Lottie as they would begin to cut all these things up. And then what they would do is they put it in a big pot. And they would begin to cook those things away. And they'd begin to add different ingredients to them. And what they were doing is it was a time of proving. It was a time of stirring the pot. It was a time when God was allowing them to be able to see the harvest and to bring the harvest. And boy, we like that, don't we? You know, it was a difficult time, Brother Chris, when we planted the harvest. But I tell you what, when harvest time came and you got to see the fruits and you got to see what God had prospered and had God had given to you, and you get out there and you start to cut all the wheat and you get out there and you start to bale all the hay and you get out there and you start to bring in all of that which is the fruit, you begin to think, wow, this is great. But when it arrived at the summer house, there was more work to be done. There's more work to be done rather than just God blessing you. You have to have your hand in allowing God to be able to use you to be able to bring a greater blessing than what God, if you would please, would do on his own, because he wants to bring a greater blessing through you to somebody else. Statement number one, there's the trial that brings proving. Statement number two, through that proving comes a purification. Matthew, come help me. Through that proving comes a purification. Stand over there. And so we'll understand that there's that proving time, but as that proving takes place, oh, they put all those string beans and they'd put even different fruits in different pots and they would begin to cook those things. And you know what happened? It began to purify. It began to burn off some of those impurities. And all of a sudden now God begins to prove some things in our life. And we get in the midst of our trials, beloved, and here's what takes place. We begin to question God if we're not careful. We begin to say, but God, I don't understand this. I'm one of your chosen ones. God, I don't understand this. Why is it now that it just seems like the trial is going on and on and on and on forever? God, is there not going to be any relief? God, is there not going to be any way out of this? God, is there not going to be any sense, if you would please, of direction in this? But it's during those times of proving that God is working in our life and God begins to purify us. You might not understand it right now, but you'll understand it by and by. You might not understand all that God is doing in your life right now, but as you back off, God will begin to show you, as you stay with it, God will begin to show you exactly what's taking place. The Bible says over in Job 23 and in verse 10, the Bible says, he knoweth the way that I take. He says, when I am tried, he says, when he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God says here, I know something about this man by the name of Job. When he goes through the refining process, when the dross is lifted off, when the purity is now showed through, he said, I know the outcome of Job. He's going to come out of that pure as gold. You know what purification does? It purges, it cleanses, it shapens, it will take and strengthen, it will take off that which is the extra. We were at soul winning yesterday, and Brother Ed Apaya was one of my partners yesterday, and we knocked on the door, and as we were going up to the door, we noticed there's a truck outside. The truck outside the door had this long, blue, very thick, about 2-inch to 4-inch hose that was going into the house. And I thought, that's neat. The people in that house must have a swimming pool outside, and they're pumping water in. We knocked on the door, and Mrs. Blankenship came to the door, and she's in her 80s, and so we started to talk a little bit, and she was very kind, and she invited us in, and so Brother Blankenship was sitting over there in a wheelchair, 87 years of age, and he's sitting there, and we started to witness to him, and the daughter came out that they're living with, and we witnessed to them, and of course, they were all saved, and they were so thankful. They gave us a little water to drink and bottled water to take out as we completed our task of knocking doors, and they said, boy, we're so glad that you came by. And then they started to tell us about things that they've gone through, and they're in their 80s, and he just had hip surgery replacement. And he said, you know, he said, but I'm sitting here in this chair, but I want to tell you something, I'm going to get up. Amen. He said, I'm an older man now, and it takes longer to heal, but I'm going to get up. And he said, I'm going to get back to church, and we need to get back to church, and we hadn't been to church in a long time. Wait a minute. You know, not one time did he utter any type of words of bitterness. Not one time did he cry out and say, well, I tell you, it's just not right. I'm in my 80s, and I served God all these years, and now all of a sudden God has placed me in the wheelchair, and it's just not right. He not one time did that. You know what he did do? I'll tell you what he did do. He was allowing God to prove him. And by the way, every single test that you go through, you either pass it or you fail it. And so what type of grade are you getting on your test? If you pass it, then you can move on to take greater tests. If you fail it, you got to take it all over again. Don't you hate that? But here's what you understand. You understand there's that proving process. That proving process will lend itself to purification. Here's what the Bible says. Paul is speaking over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 9. He says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take no pleasure, that's what he says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. It says, for when I'm weak, he says, then am I strong. And so here's what he says. He says this, he says, I'm going to take pleasure in that which is the purification time. As God is purifying me and I don't understand it, I'm under the heat. Can you imagine if those lima beans could speak? As they're sitting there on the stove and the heat is turned up for purification and for preservation's sake, can you imagine those beans speaking out and saying, let me out of here, it's too hot. My grandmother used to say, if it's too hot in the kitchen, get out. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do with their philosophies of church attendance. I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do with their philosophy of walking with God, getting their prayers answered. You know, sometimes God will actually turn up the heat, and what happens now, that proving process will purify us. Purifies our thinking. Come on. How many times have you been to the hospital and somebody says, preacher, I'll tell you what, if God would get me out of here, I'll serve him the rest of the days of my life. You know what happens? In the hospital, everything becomes pure. When we are in stressful times, we cry out to God, and we don't make too many words about it. We're not trying to impress God or the people listening with the marvelous way that we structure our words and the definition that it gives, the meaning to others, if you will, please, by our prayers. It was Peter beginning to sink, and he looked over, and he said, Lord! By the way, it wasn't a long prayer, was it? He said, Lord! Save me. That was it. Here's what sometimes we think. We think that, I tell you what, when I'm in trouble, I just got to change this. Why don't you come to God just as you are? Why don't you let God be the one to decide that he'll answer prayer? But I will tell you something, friend. He'll never answer prayers that are not prayed. You can wind up trying to handle all your problems by yourself, and can I tell you, you'll never be successful without God. See, there's that proving process. That proving process leads to a purification. He says over in Proverbs 25 and in verse 4, Proverbs 25 and in verse 4, he says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. So what happens when you're in that purification mode? He begins to cleanse you and refine you and strengthen you and purge you and begin to purify you. He said, you're going to come forth all the more better. Somebody asked at a refinery. The refiner said, how do you know when silver is ready? How do you know when it is at its purest state? Here's what the refiner said. He said, it's very easy. When you can look into silver and you can see yourself perfectly. He said, you know that the refining process has been completed. Well, isn't that something? Because here you have a mirror that's called God's Word. And I promise you, if you look into the pages of God's Word and you're open to God and you say, God, show me anything in my life that needs to be changed. Show me anything in my life I need to improve on. And as you're reading God's Word, it's always a delight. And the Holy Ghost of God is not pointing anything out to you. Then you can look and you can say, the stature in which I'm living is now just and acceptable before God. But have you ever looked in a mirror and saw yourself perfect? Don't answer that. But you know, when you look in the mirror, you normally don't look in the mirror to see how perfect you are. You normally look in the mirror to see things that you need to correct. You look in the mirror to see if the hair is out of place, if the teeth are actually clean from the brushing, if the face is actually shaved from the shaving. You look in the mirror to see if the tie is correct, if the outfit is appropriate and correct. And God's Word is a mirror. And as I look in the mirror, God begins to prove me and God begins to sanctify me. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Give me another young man over here, if you will. Watch this. Here's what happens during that purification is this. And God begins to teach me some patience. Because it takes a long time. Somebody comes to church and they say, I tell you what, I want to be an outstanding Christian tomorrow. May not happen tomorrow. God may have to work in you. More and more and more and more to get you to the point and the place where he can use you in a greater fashion. Here's what he says in James chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations. He says, when you fall into a temptation, rejoice. When you break your arm, rejoice. When you have no money in the bank, rejoice. When you lose your best friend or your favorite dog, rejoice. Now, that's hard, isn't it? But here's what he says. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So here's what he's saying. He says, through those trials, I'm going to show you your patience. You know, it's funny. We go through the child rearing stages, and when they're really, really young, they start to walk around and then they start to pick up everything. So when they go over grandmom's house, grandmom takes all the toys, all the trinkets, all of her favorite little things that's on the lower shelf. What does she do? She puts them on the higher shelf because she doesn't want the little one to destroy. Is that right? And then all of a sudden now, you know, they get a little bit bigger, and they get bigger, and the problem with that is they get bigger toys. But they get bigger, and they get bigger, and they get bigger, and you think with that growth, with a man, a young man this stature, we think, boy, you know, he's got to be more mature than somebody that's this stature. He's got to know more. I mean, look at him. He dresses sharp. He's got that intelligent look on his face. He nods his head like I do, too. And we look at him and we say, man, you know, he's got to know more than what this little one knew. But to be honest with you, maturity comes from that which is the proving. Maturity comes from a time where God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to purify you. I'm going to work in you. Maturity comes from just being patient over and over and over again. See, the financial trials that you have are reversals. What's that do? Teaches you patience. When you have a physical disparity, it teaches you patience. When you have a strained relationship, it teaches you patience. When your emotions are struggled, what does it do? It teaches you to be patient and don't make a hasty decision, but be reliant upon God. Wait, watch this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, and not only so, it says, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, it didn't say that patience causes tribulation. What it did say was that while you're in tribulation, you're going to experience having some patience. So you're in the tribulation, and boy, you're in your personal tribulation period. You're sitting there in the waiting room. The doctor has just examined you. Can I tell you, no matter how hurtly you are to get the results, you're going to have to be patient. All of a sudden, you're in a car accident. And you think that because you pay your premium every single month, that the insurance company is going to be just as speedily in their treatment of you. So every day you hurriedly run down to the mailbox to see, is that which is the settlement complete? And you get down there and you open it up and it's not there. You know what you just learned? Patience. Say, but I wasn't trying to learn patience. You don't have to try to learn patience. God will allow you to go through things, and those things God will use as a tool. Come on. Here's a young couple just got married. Said, I want a home just like Dad and Mom. But it took Dad and Mom 40 years to get in that home. You know what you're learning? Patience. Well, I want to go to the college, the Bible college. I want to go to that Bible college, and I want to graduate in 1 year. It's going to take you 4. If you get a master's, it's going to take you 6. If you get an earned doctorate, it's going to take you 7. Come on. You know what you're going to learn? Patience. Boy, I like that boy. I wish that boy would like me. I do. He doesn't know what he's missing, she says. And so she walks slowly down the hallway, hoping that he would recognize her. And all he wants to do is go to the bookstore and buy a book. All he wants to do is go play on the dodgeball team. Hello? You know what God's teaching you? Patience. As people get older, sometimes their body slows down. Have you noticed? By the way, you're not old until you reach 100. But have you noticed when people get older, their body slows down? You know, when their body slows down, you know what happens now? They have to be patient, don't they? Don't you hate it? When you stop at the red light and the red light is not on your timer, don't you hate it? When you're sitting there at the red light and you've got somewhere to be, and it just seems like that the red light, because you're there, is longer than it's ever been. And you sit there and you wait. And you sit there and you wait. And you sit there and you wait. Don't you wish that those of you that were parents, that your child would hurry up and mature and stop making the dumb mistakes? Don't you wish they would learn their lessons now so that you don't have to go through the heartache? Don't sometimes you wish that you could take your 29-year-old son back in the back room and go like this 25 times and say, get it right now. Now, you can't do that. But you know what God's doing even in your adulthood life? God's teaching you some patience. You see, it's the things that we go through that teaches us those patient things. And we don't like to learn that. We don't like to learn the process of, boy, I've got to be patient. I've got to wait for this. How do you like Job? You know, Job, 40 chapters later, that's many years later, he learned that God would bless in the end. What do you think about Joseph? Joseph in Egypt took 23 years for his dream to be complete. 23 years. What was God doing? God was teaching him, as you're in the pit, be patient. As you're in Potiphar's house and now a false accusation comes against you and you're cast into prison, be patient. And as the famine is coming and I'm using you to be able to grow the crop and put back a certain amount, be patient. And all of a sudden his brothers show up and there's patience. And all of a sudden now he gets to see dad again and the blessing of taking care of his brothers. But that wasn't in the beginning. That was in the end. So many times we say, I want the end right now. How many times have you ever read a book? And it's so good. It's, man, I got to find out. The dinner bell rings. Mom says, it's time to eat. No. No. So you scurrily go to the back pages to say, I wonder what happened to the hero. And you read it. Now you ruin the rest of the book. Don't you hate it when you sit down to watch a film? And there was another family member sitting in the room that already saw the film. And they cannot contain themselves. And they begin to say, let me tell you what's going to happen next. And you're sitting there, shh, don't say it. I want to experience it for myself. But we don't do that when it comes to patience. We say, tell me now. When's it going to end? Can I tell you, when you're having a rotten time in your marriage, it's not time to end it. Can I tell you, when you're having a rotten time with your kids, it's not time to end it. Can I tell you, when you're having a rotten time in your personal life and it seems like everything you touch crumbles, well, you put it all together and make a cookie, but it's not time to end it. May I say that there's one last thing to consider, and that is this. Give me, right here, come help me if you will. There's that which is patience, and patience, here we go, right here, turns into praise. And by the way, you don't get that over here. Come on, can I be honest with you? Oh, praise God, I broke my arm. Hallelujah. You don't see that. Thank God I was laid off. Now I've got to live on the street. Praise God. You don't see that. You don't hear ladies going to work saying, boy, I want to tell you, last night it was a wonderful thing at our house. My husband and I fought for 4 hours. You really don't hear that. You know, the proving time, we don't really understand what's happening. All we know is it's taken a long time. All we know is it's taken that long time and we don't see what is happening. And as we experience the sanctification on the inside, come on, watch. Here we go. We're at grandma's house. Here's what they do. They get these jars. They take these jars, and at first they're just sitting over there minding their own business completely empty. All of a sudden, the harvest is brought in. The harvest is brought in. They put them in these big pots, and they begin to cook them. And after a certain amount of time, they'll put them in the jars, and they begin to cool. After they begin to cool for a while, you know, they don't put the lid on immediately, but they put these wax lids on, and it would seal it. And then what they would do is they would take and they would put that lid on tight. And you know what would happen? Whatever was in that jar was preserved. Say, where did the blessing come from? Where did the praise come from? When they opened back up the jar. See, can I tell you what's happening in your life right now? What's happening in your life is God's trying to show you some things that he can't show you any other way except for proving. God says, I got to bring some testing in your life. I've got to bring some struggles in your life. And I don't need to prove to you my faith and that I can take care of you. But rather, I'm going to prove to you who you really are. What type of faith you really have. And as I prove to you so that you can see yourself in the mirror of who you really are, then he said, I can begin to work, because when you realize who you really are compared to the problems you have, you'll definitely turn to me. But as long as you think you can handle your problem, God is out of the picture. As long as you think, boy, I don't need God, and I will have a God emergency, and that's when I call on God, when I'm just in an emergency zone. No, it ought to be a relationship. And so God is proving himself, and he's bringing this up, and you say, I don't understand it. I don't want that. And God says, oh, but you need that, because a part of sanctification is separating yourself onto God. You're now becoming more of God's. You're not more of yourself. You're not more of your friends. You're more of God's. And the more that you go through proving times in your life, if you're the right type of Christian with the right type of spirit, you'll go to God. And as you go to God, God will often say, I'm not done yet. God, answer the prayer now. I'll answer prayer, but not yet. You know, this is where a lot of people jump off. But God, you better do it now. I've got a schedule. Don't you know, God, I'm important. So God, you better answer prayer according to my schedule. God, you better pay off my house now. God, straighten that kid out now. God, make my wife lovely to me now. God, turn that husband from the frog that he is into Prince Charming. Now. God says it takes a kiss, and you say, no way, I'm not going to do that. Patience. But with that patience, if you stay with it all the way through, you'll have something to tell people about. You'll have something to praise God for. Listen, I've seen people that go through trials and they get bitter. I've seen other people go through trials and they get better. Can I tell you, there's nothing like opening up something that's well-preserved. You ready? Just for you. We have some people that do canning in our church, and they have brought us all sorts of different things. They'll do jellies, and they'll can them, and they'll bring us jellies, and you can take and open that. You can take and crack that seal. You can take and put that spoon. By the way, this is what we all like. God, this is good. Praise God. The Nashes brought two sweet rolls to my office yesterday morning. Getting ready to go out soul winning. By the way, had 165 people out soul winning yesterday morning. Saturday for the soul winning rally at 10. That was wonderful. Right before soul winning rally, the Nashes brought me two sweet rolls. And I can't do a lot of sugar, but they didn't look like that they would kill me. And I hadn't had breakfast yet. I hurried outside the house and had me a cup of coffee that was sitting there on my desk. And that cup of coffee said, I need a companion. So I looked at that sweet roll and I said, which one of you want to volunteer? And both of them raised their hands. We got home late last night, and Mrs. Nash called my wife and said, how'd you enjoy that one sweet roll? She said, what sweet roll? I was in the kitchen. My wife said, did Mrs. Nash send me a sweet roll? I said, I'm sorry, it didn't make it to you, did it? My wife looked at me and she said, you ate my sweet roll. I began to laugh. And then she beat me up with a broom. No, I'm kidding. She didn't do that part. But now, watch this. There's that proving. that proving has that sanctification process. That sanctification, here's what we got to do. We got to wait on it, Brother Smale, because that sanctification is separating us onto a holy use by God. That purification is separating us onto a holy use by God. And as it's doing that, we don't like that. God, give me a church that would tickle my ears, tickle my belly, make me like, don't give me one of those old letter lung preachers that's going to get up and say, yeah! Don't do that. God, please don't do that. I've been in a church like that before and it scared me. Come on. God says, hey, I want to do something in your life. So there's that purification that comes. And God said, just be patient, because in the end, here in the end, you get to taste it. And I tell you what, it'll bring some praise. Did you ever go to God because you felt like you had no one else to go to? Hello, you know I'm serious when I'm pointing at you with a spoon. But did you ever go to God when you felt like you had no other place to go to, and all of a sudden you tasted of the Lord, as the Bible says, you taste of the Lord and see that he is good? Well, how do you see that he's good? You allow him to do that perfect work in you. Let me give you this and I'm done. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Ooh, endureth temptation. He says, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. He says, now, wait a minute, there's an enduring time. Okay, wait a minute. Harvest is brought in. They take it to the summer house. They dice it. They cut it up. They throw it in the pot. It is cooked. It now steams. They pour it inside of the jar. They let it begin to settle a little bit. They put that adhesive plastic that's on there, and it seals itself. They put the lid on, and it may sit on the shelf for years. They put the date on the outside. It may sit on the shelf for years, but it's preserved. Then one day, all of a sudden, somebody comes over and they say, hey, go down there and get those peaches. They bring them up. They begin to open up that. Yeah, I can tell y'all are righteous people. But they you don't amen nothing but peaches. And so they begin to take that lid off and they pop that seal and they begin to get that out of there. And you can, oh, it's going to be good. And you'll sit there and you'll praise God. But you know what? It sat on the shelf all those years. And it was just waiting for the proper time. Yeah, here's something neat about thank you, be seated. Here's something neat. Take those signs with you. Here's something neat about being a parent. Let me tell you something neat about being a parent. You get to see these elements in your children. You get to see God proving them, and you can think back. Boy, I remember when I was their age. I remember going through that too. It's neat about being a pastor as you look out over the members that you're a shepherd over. And it's neat to be able to look out over the members that God has called you to be a shepherd over and to watch God begin to prove different ones. And then you just stand back to see how they're going to respond to a reproving time in God's life or in their life. You get to stand back and see, okay, are they going to make it through? Are they going to pass? Or are they going to fail? And as a pastor, here's what happens. You're up there and you're looking down on all these lives and you see this trial is coming up in this family and this trial is coming up in this family and this trial is coming up in this family and this individual is going through a trial, and you just kind of stand back and say, wonder if they're going to pass. Wonder if they're going to fail. And God begins to prove them. Then you watch how they begin to react to this, and you watch attitudes and dispositions, and you watch if they become more faithful in serving Christ or if they begin to back off in serving Christ, and you're watching their whole life, and you're beginning to see what God's doing is God is sanctifying them. God is trying to bring them closer through that purification to him. And you watch them as some people get anxious. Boy, God, you got to fix this now. God said, no, that's your timing. That's not my timing. And so God said, I'm just going to hold off just to teach you some more patience. Then all of a sudden, God answers prayer. What a blessing that is. Then you see them walking down the hallway. You see their countenance has changed. You see there's a smile on their face. And you say, hey, how's it going? And instead of them saying, well, preacher, I'm making it. Well, it could be better. Well, I'll tell you, I'm having a hard time. Here's what they say. Boy, they say, boy, God is so good. Man, let me tell you what I got out of the Bible. Let me tell you how God's working in my life. You know what's happening? They've gone through the process, and now they get to see what God is really doing as they look back. I'm saying, when you go through the trials in your life, many times, God has you in mind. He doesn't have the person sitting beside you in mind. He doesn't have the person that's your neighbor behind the fence in mind. He's got one person in mind, that's you. And he's watching you just to see if you're going to pass the trial, if you're going to get closer to him, if you're going to be patient and let him have his perfect way, the Bible says. And in the end, if you're going to be able to praise him for what he did.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.